This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Blessing.
My message is entitled, The Blessing. It's going to be a little different than maybe you're thinking about the blessings you have. I want to go in the other direction. First of all, if you saw somebody do what you're going to see behind me on the PowerPoint, if you heard or saw somebody sneeze, what would your response be? Right. That blessing after a sneeze was born in the 6th century, when Europeans by the millions were dying of the bubonic plague. Sneezing was an early sign that somebody might have the plague. Bless you, I guess that was required. It was necessary. Bless you that you don't get it. Blessings following a sneeze are still appropriate. Let me give you some statistics about the sneeze. The sneeze travels 6 to 9 feet at the speed of 95 miles an hour. You might be able to literally blow your brains out, but I'm not sure about that statistic. That sneeze carries millions and thousands of millions of germs, contaminating those in its spray. The world record sneezer, did you think there was somebody like that? There actually was a world record sneezer, and her name was Donna Griffiths. She lived in Britain, and she sneezed every day for 978 days in a row. Imagine. But God bless you, following a sneeze is in effect a blessing for your health. And what about that song, the God Bless America? That phrase is a prayer from the mountains to the oceans that God will bless this country. In Hebrew, the word blessing is called a barucha. In Greek, it's called a eulogia. We get the word eulogy from that. And both of those mean to speak good things, to speak good things. So a eulogy is to speak good things about the person who has passed. God has been speaking his blessings since the dawn of time. So I want to connect you to God's words of blessing on people. First of all, the very first pronouncement was to living things on the planet, and it's found in Genesis 1:22. And here's what God said. The Creator said, He blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And then in Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, put back what was there before." And Genesis 12:2, to Abraham, God said, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So Creator God, Father God, spent all of these years sending out his blessing to his creation. And Jesus was no different. After all, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and the Son is like the Father. And so Jesus began a process of blessing people verbally. And it can be found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And I'd like us to read it together. If you have your Bible, you can open it there or find it up here on PowerPoint. And let's stand together as we read God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Let's read it together. Verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Thank you. You may be seated. In verse 3, Jesus blesses the poor in spirit. Those are the ones who recognize their need for God and have allowed Christ to meet that need. There is this hunger in people to know God. There is something inside humanity that God placed. Someone said it was a giant empty hole that could only be filled by God. Somebody said it was a homing device leading to God. There's something in us that wants us to draw close to God. And God said, okay, I've got a way for that to happen. And that way is through my son, Jesus Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, you'll know me. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll have a personal relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, Jesus blesses those who mourn. Do you know what sorrow means? Are you grieving on the inside? Have you been hurt so deeply that it just years have passed and yet you still have that feeling inside of you every so often? When the tears just want to whelm up in your eyes, when you just have that sense that you have suffered such a tremendous loss. And Jesus says, I want to recognize you. I want to speak to you. I want to comfort you. I know what you're feeling. I know what's going on inside your mind, but I want you to know that I'm in here and I want to touch you in a special way as you grieve. I want to help you get through it. You may never get past it, but let Jesus help you get through it today and tomorrow and in the days ahead. In verse 5, Jesus blesses the meek. And that's an awful lot of people. These are the people who have nothing, nothing, and can claim nothing of this material world as their own. They have no property. They have no possessions. They virtually have to struggle each and every day to find food. I'm thinking of teenage children and young children in Brazil struggling for food. They go to the garbage dumps. And they scrounge their way through the garbage dump just to try and find some food and maybe some ragged clothes to put on themselves. Jesus was thinking about those folks. Jesus was saying, I want to offer you that the world, I want to offer you something the world can't give you. I want to give you an inner peace. I want to give you an inner strength. I want to give you an inner comfort. I want to lift your heart. I want to offer you blessings of spiritual riches. You may not have anything this world has to offer, but you can have everything that I have to offer. And what he has to offer is a lot that doesn't depend on your circumstance. Peace, joy, love, comfort, strength, kindness, goodness. In verse 6, Jesus blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just think about this world. Just think about the direction in which our culture is going. It just seems to be that it's very harsh. It's very vulgar. It's very hostile. In other words, when the culture and the society points us to something, it's something away from that which is good. It just seems to so many people that the direction of the culture is heading towards those things which are against God, against His Word, and taking the culture and the society in a direction that's not healthy for individuals and it's not healthy for our country. And God says, if you are hungering for the things that really matter, I will give you a strength and a peace and a hunger for goodness that the world can't possibly ever offer you. In verse 7, Jesus blesses those who show mercy. God's mercy is unfettered mercy towards you and me. In other words, God is not giving you what you deserve. If God were to give us what we deserved, we'd be in bad shape. But God loves us so much, He showers His mercy upon us, and He says to us, this is not what you deserve, but I want to give it to you anyway. I mean, your life and my life is such that if we really, really were honest with one another, and we really search the inside of us, we say, you know, I don't deserve such love as God given. I don't deserve that unconditional love. Everybody has told me since I've been a kid, if you want me to love you, then you're going to have to do this. And Jesus never said you're going to have to do that to find my love. Jesus said, follow me, love me, trust me, put yourself in my hands. I'll show you more love than you've ever seen in your life. And Jesus blessed, in verse 8, Jesus blesses those that are pure in heart. What a word, pure. What a word. Are we finding people living pure lives in our society today? How hard is it to find purity and honesty, integrity and character? Those words used to mean something. If they still meant something today in America in 2014, I would say this would be a different country. If honesty and integrity and character meant what they meant a back a ways ago, this would be a different country today. In verse 9, he blesses the peacemaker. Jesus said the day would come when people would say, peace, peace, and there'd be no peace. We've got a whole institution on the east side of Manhattan dedicated to world peace. It's called what? The United Nations. But what are they about? If they're about world peace, if they're about making the world better, they should close the place up because the world isn't at peace and things aren't better. They're missing the mark. Because the reality is this, if you don't know Jesus, there could be no peace. There could be no peace in your own heart. There could be no peace with God. And if there's no peace within your heart, your own heart, and you don't have peace with God, if it isn't in individuals, it could never be in society. The whole is equal to the sum of its parts. If we don't have peace in our heart, how could we be praying for peace in the world? In verse 10, Jesus blesses those who are persecuted for his sake. Don't we have a list? Don't we have a name as by way of example? How about blessing Abano? How about that list of hundreds of girls, all of whom have been kidnapped, all of whom are being threatened, that if you don't leave Jesus, you're going to be married off at 8 and 9 years old. You're going to be sold into prostitution. You're going to be beaten until you die. Give up the name of Jesus, persecuted for Jesus' sake. And let me tell you, there are so many stories of persecuted Christians in this 21st century. Christians, more Christians have been persecuted in the 21st century than have been persecuted in all the centuries before. Blessed are they who are persecuted for his name. The Bible says God the Father and God the Son have blessed every believer, quote, with all spiritual blessings. So my question in part to you this morning is, what are your spiritual blessings? Now, we're not talking about your house, and we're not talking about your car, and we're not talking about your job, and we're not talking about your finances. We're talking about spiritual blessings, and if we could only focus on them so many times, all these other things would fall by the wayside. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what are some of your blessings? Ephesians 1:6 says you are blessed because you are accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. No matter what your life was like before you received Christ as your Savior, no matter what you did before you came to know Jesus Christ, no matter how bad you were, no matter how low down you had gotten, no matter how far God was from your thinking and your conscious deliberations, no matter how far you were away from God, when you received Christ as your Savior, the gap was closed. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God has forgiven you. Jesus has forgiven you. Have you forgiven yourself? It doesn't matter what sins you committed. It doesn't matter who your friends were. It doesn't matter how many times you rejected God or mocked him or cursed him. You say, but Pastor, you can't reject God or mock God or curse God or abandon him without losing your salvation. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter abandon Jesus? Catholics call him the head of the church. We know him as an apostle. He fell, but Jesus never stopped loving him. And Jesus said, I know what you're going to do. As soon as that bird out there starts crowing three times, you're gonna forsake me. You're gonna make believe you never knew me. Well, that should be enough, shouldn't it, Pastor, to say I never knew Jesus? Well, apparently not. God loves you. He will forgive you in your moments of weakness. You confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you were like. If you think it matters what you used to be like, and therefore he can never forgive you, therefore he can never receive you, therefore you could never be accepted, have you thought about Paul lately? He was a persecutor of the church. His resume is so far away of what it should be for somebody who helped by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote so many books of the Bible. He should be the last person on that list. He should never have been considered an apostle to the Gentiles, you and me. He should never have written the Pauline epistles. If God was going to hold his past against him, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul says, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting those Christians. And Jesus said, it's the same thing. You hurt one of mine, you've hurt me. Well, how could that work? Listen, if somebody hurts your children, have they hurt you? Once you have been received by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you become part of His family, and that will never change, because Hebrews 5:9 says, you've been blessed with an eternal salvation. Salvation is yours for eternity. If we were to die right here and right now, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we'd go home to glory for eternity. Are you ready? Well, that was a pretty weak amen. Your salvation cannot be taken away. If you wander from God, He will take you back into His arms. If you get lost, He will find you. The one sheep among 99. If you get down, He will lift you up. If you get tired in your spiritual journey, He will give you rest. Ephesians 2:13 says, you are blessed because God is always near, always near. Even if the people who are closest to you abandon or forsake you, God will always be with you. Now, some people leave us because they're mad at us, disappointed in us, disillusioned with us, upset with us. Some people leave us because they die. Some people leave us because they move on. People experience in this life that the associations we have that are so close, it could even be your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, that you could lose these people from your love in this world. But you can never lose God. You can never use the Lord. Never lose Him. And He will never lose you. His Holy Spirit living in you blesses you with what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, a grace that knows no limit. A mercy and a grace that knows no limit. Whatever it is that you and I do to disappoint God, He is willing to forgive. When Jesus hung on that cross with His arms outstretched like that, you know what He was saying? Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Whosoever will may come. I will never abandon you. If you want to receive me as your Savior, I'm here. Come to me. My arms are open wide for you. If you've sinned and you feel that you've gone so far away from God that you can never make things right, His grace welcomes you back home. You can go home again. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 say that He blesses you with a hope that knows no disappointment. Life is filled with disappointment. But let me remind you of something, that the day is coming when what you really hope for is going to happen. You really hope that when you say goodnight down here, you'll say good morning up there. You really hope and believe that the last breath of earthly air you take will be followed by the first breath of heavenly air that you take. If you really believe that, I want to tell you, that is something you will not be disappointed in. Life is filled with disappointment. If you haven't lived more than an hour, you'd know that. John 15:11, it says that He gives us a joy that knows no diminishing. Well, if you had life's experience come down your pike and you've been in conditions and circumstances where you've been hurt, disappointed, made angry, lost your job, death in the family, broken relationships, you know what it means to have your hope shattered and your joy affected. But God says, if your happiness is diminishing, I can give you a joy that passes all understanding, a peace that passes all understanding. I will give you stuff that you are. I will give you resources that you need to get through such a time as this. When you're going through some of those pinch points in life, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't have the resources of His blessing. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you have the resource of His joy that goes beyond your circumstance and your present situation. Because you know that somehow or another, God is going to get you through this. You might come out limping, but you're going to get through it. John 14:27, His blessing to you is peace that knows no disruption. And 1 Corinthians 13:8, a love that knows no end. In the world, we have relationships. If you have friends who don't know Christ as Savior, those friends of yours who don't know Him as your Savior can only have you as a friend as long as they live. But if you have friends and family who know Christ as your Savior, you'll have those relationships here and now and beyond the grave in heaven. These are relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ that will never end. The love that God has for you will never end. It's going beyond the grave. We have so much to look forward to in Jesus' name. So many wonderful blessings in Jesus' name. I know sometimes the things in life that we always wanted and always hoped for don't always happen. And we can get disappointed and we can get disillusioned. But I want to tell you, there's more than that. Are you looking for the more than that? Having reminded us that we have received many blessings, I want to tell you the rest of the story. God wants you and me to pass on the blessings to those in our physical family and spiritual family. He wants us to literally say a prayer of blessing on our spouse, our children, our siblings, our parents, our church, our family, your pastor. In other words, if you have a child going off to college, rather than a handshake, rather than a pat on the back, rather than cash, rather than the words good luck, God would have us pray a blessing over that child. Take a look at Genesis chapter 27 and verses 26 to 29. Genesis chapter 27 verses 26 to 29. His father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, his clothing, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. Let nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse be everyone that curses you, and bless be he that blesses you. The father lays his hands on that son and gives him a blessing. People do this. The Bible said we need to do this. Bless our children. Bless those in our sphere of influence. What does it look like? Here's a wonderful example of a blessing. It's taken from the movie Fiddler on the Roof, and it's called the Sabbath Prayer. You may never receive a blessing quite like that from those in your home, but you must expect to hear words of blessing from your church family. What would a blessing sound like? Simple. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. The Bible would put it this way, Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What does a blessing look like? James 5:13-14. Is any among you afflicted, suffering? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anyone who is sick in body, mind, or spirit and has faith in Jesus Christ may call for an anointing. We've done so many anointings in our church. But I have the sense that we're not using the anointing, that we're not calling for the anointing. I wanted to remind you this morning that you can ask for this blessing. That when you're sick and you're going through some difficult times, you can ask for an anointing. I'm going to list a number of those that are appropriate times to ask for an anointing and a blessing. When one is experiencing a decline in health, when you're going through that period where you feel like you're sick, you can call for a blessing, an anointing for your health. If you've incurred an injury, fallen off a ladder, broken arm, broken leg, you're just going to think the doctor is sufficient. Let us anoint you. You must call. Depression, experiencing emotional illness. If something is bothering you deep down inside, And if it then goes to depression and disillusionment, you can ask for an anointing. Before surgery or medical tests, you can ask for prayer. You can ask for an anointing. You can ask to be blessed. Before a weighty decision, we've heard so many folks in our congregation who needed that special something extra because of the job situation. Going through a job situation or a life-changing situation, you can be anointed. We can pray for you. After marital separation and divorce, the heartbreak of that, we can pray for you. We can anoint you. We can bless you. After a miscarriage or the death of a loved one and you're grieving, you know, for so many women who have had a miscarriage, nothing happens after that. They had a miscarriage and everybody just goes along. What about a blessing? What about a prayer? What about a graveside service? What about something to recognize the pain that you have for the loss? What about for those things? What about a loss of job or embarking on a new job or a promotion? Or when there is a fracture in the relationship between yourself, your friends, family members, or within the church? May we pray for you. May we offer a blessing. May we lay our hands upon you. May we anoint you with oil. When you're going off to school or you're leaving the area, you're moving, whatever it is, a life change. Can we anoint you? Can we bless you? May we pray for you. Allow this church to bless you with a prayer, a hug, a helping hand with God's word. Allow us to pray a blessing over you and then to be a blessing to you. And may all of us empower those with whom we come in contact with the blessing. The blessing. May God bless you. May I pray this blessing upon you this morning. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back, the sunshine warm upon your face, the rain fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Don't forget, summer hours begin Sunday, June 29th. Sunday school, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 9:45 a.m. Summer hours will continue through Labor Day weekend, and regular hours will resume Sunday, September 7th.